This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Representative Joe Havlin. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Juke. Glad to be here.
And it's nice to be here on a beautiful day like this, and probably a day when you'd rather be out digging in the garden or something.
Well, I had a great day of golf yesterday for a fundraiser for one of our senators, and what a beautiful day it was. No humidity,
it was.
No sunshine.
It was
just
super.
A perfect day to be
yeah,
out there.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's start out with the proposal one that we
sure
want to make sure that people understand before they go to the polls to vote.
Well, and from what I've been told, people are still very confused, and there's some worry that possibly it may not pass, but I'll tell you, this is just such an opportunity for people to help turn this economy around and really get Michigan competitive with other states. We in the legislature believe that the past 3.5 years we've changed Michigan. We've, you know, to coin the governor's phrase, we've reinvented it, and things are on the mends.
Mm-hmm.
But replacing the PPT, the personal property tax for businesses, will just do so much for this economy. And what's really interesting is there's very little, if any, organized opposition. When you can get the state treasury department, the legislature, everybody in Lansing on the same side as local governments, you've got a good proposal.
Right.
So people shouldn't be scared of this. They should be looking at this as a great opportunity to move Michigan forward. And as I said, I mean, we have cities like Holland and Zeeland, Holland Township even, that get a tremendous amount of revenue from personal property tax.
Right.
And yet they are in favor of replacing it and getting rid of this for this new proposal.
I think they see the feasibility of this.
Well, it's
good.
Yeah, it's a very expensive tax to collect on their behalf. Very cumbersome, a lot of paperwork for both businesses and the local municipalities. So they want to see something simpler, and they want to see a replacement income that doesn't penalize businesses for buying new equipment. The ad that I see on TV now talking about, and I have it here, a flyer that just came yesterday, talking about a gentleman who bought a piece of equipment decades ago, and now his grandson runs the business and is still paying tax on that same piece of equipment.
Right.
That's completely unfair, and it's counterproductive for a good economy. We want to see those businesses go out and invest in new equipment and not have to worry about a repetitive tax every year to pay on that equipment.
Now, was there ever a limit on the number of years they pay it for some manufacturers, for instance?
Well, I think until it depreciates to virtually nothing.
Yeah.
So if there's still value on it, you still have to every year claim it as property that you have
on
premises.
Well, you've found a junk value that's no longer taxable.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You either have to sell it or junk it, that it isn't worth anything. So some people keep old equipment because it's worth less, and they don't have to pay as much tax. Some people, I've heard, will move equipment and hide equipment. So there's a little bit of deceit that goes on and collecting it. If somebody can hide an asset and they can prove that they don't have it on site, they don't pay tax on it. We want to incentivize people to go out and buy new equipment, invest in their businesses, invest in their local economy, and grow their business for everyone.
Now, another question I hear, well, what's going to happen to this money?
Well, we would be collecting less at a local level, and mm-hmm. through a different formula. Some of that business money would be sent to Michigan, to the state, and then the state would be reimbursing the locals. And that's how we, frankly, after well over a year of negotiation and compromise, all groups came to an agreement and said, yes, we accept this, that locals will be held whole. And I understand the mayor was on earlier today talking about it, too.
Yeah.
So for those that worry that, hey, we're losing revenue at a local level, and who's going to make it up? Citizen going to make it up? That is not the case.
And we have a caller.
Great.
Good morning. You're on the line with our guest.
Yes. This is Joe Hoffman.
Yes, sir.
All right. I have a question for him.
Okay.
My question is, in the final weeks of the campaign, to replace him, just wondering what he sees happening and who he thinks would be the best replacement for him.
Okay, well, thank you. We're getting right into the campaign. I knew that we'd touch on that, but I just want to see, Juke, do you want to continue to talk about PPT, or do you want me to talk about the primary?
Throw out a name.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. I've come out with a very vocally saying I'm supporting Daniela Garcia. She's certainly the most qualified candidate of the four running, and just a quality individual. She's locked up every endorsement of local people in this community, as well as business organizations and other organizations out of Lansing. But she has the local support. It's interesting. I think her chief opponent, the gentleman with my last name, who I am not supporting, and there's still some confusion. I just had a few questions of people thinking that that's me.
It isn't.
It is not me running. I wish I could run again. I love what I'm doing. But it's not me running. It's someone else with my last name. The only support that you see this person having is from a group called Americans for Prosperity. They're doing his mail for him. A good share of the mail is coming right from this group. This Americans for Prosperity is doing this mail, these mail pieces all over the state, trying to buy these elections for the far right wing Tea Party Patriots groups, and Americans for Prosperity is a national organization run primarily funded by the Koch brothers, if anybody's heard that term, a couple of billionaires in the oil business who have funded this group. It's not a group that is friendly to our local communities. All they want to do is see cut, less, and dismantle government at all levels. I can't support that. I support common sense reforms and a conservative approach, but we still need to run the government. Mm-hmm. We still need to have citizens active, and government does serve a role, as we will continue to talk about. But that's the only organization that's supporting the other candidate.
I see.
Being funded by a couple of billionaires from another part of the country. And Daniela has locked up support from, as I said, three mayors. We have three mayors in this district, and all three mayors support her. County commissioners, city council people, Pete Hoekstra, myself, Bill Huizinga, Arlen Meekoff, all supporting her, and as well as various business people in the community, yeah, too. So she's the local candidate that can get things done. She's got the experience, and she's well represented in this community.
Okay, got another call coming in.
Great.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Good morning. For our representative Houtman, first of all, thanks for your service. You've done a good job, and you've helped me personally as well. So
thank you, sir.
Also, I'd just like to get back to that state tax, because if I understood you right, you said that there might be a replacement, or they're looking for a replacement. And I guess my question is, does this mean that in the future there still will be some kind of a tax collected, and where is that headed? Is it locally, or what are they going to do about that?
Well,
thank you.
Okay, as I said, this is a confusing tax currently, and the proposal, and that's one of the problems we've had, is the language on the ballot has been written in such a confusing manner that people are a little scared of it. But this is a 10-year phase out completely of the PPT. It will be paid for by businesses on personal property, predictable state assessments. I'm reading, of course. And let me just continue here. Years 1 through 5, it'll be at 2.4 mils. Years 6 through 10, 1.25 mils. Years 11 and on, 0.9 mils. And in another area, I know I found where it said a 10-year phase-out, so maybe I'm a little mistaken. But there still will be a tax collected on some property. Essentially we're trying to do is get rid of this PPT for manufacturing, so we can rebuild our manufacturing base, and then we will continue this phase-out. Not every business will benefit from this. A good friend of mine wrote a letter to the editor a couple weeks ago saying that his business, a service business, wasn't going to benefit, and he didn't like that. Well, I would contend that if manufacturing benefits from it and we have more employment and less unemployment and we continue to build this economy, then we all benefit from this. So the state will continue to collect some of these taxes and reimburse locals to hold them harmless, so we don't lose more money at our local level. I've always been an advocate saying that you know, the best money we can spend is at the local level. So if Lansing can continue to fund our local units of government, we can spend it better here back in Holland than I could in Lansing.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
My questions are, Joe, did you vote for Common Core?
Yes, I did. I voted for the resolution to allow it. Common Core, in my view, is a standard. It's a bottom standard that no schools can fall below. I don't see a problem with that. I think we need consistency between our schools. I think the confusion
not to interrupt you for voting for it, could you tell me why all these states that voted for it or put it in place are now turning around and getting out of it?
No, I can't.
If it's so great, I mean, I guess I'm asking that question, and I'm going to ask you if you have voted for the expansion of Medicaid in
okay.
the state.
Well, it seems like this primary has come down to a couple of key issues.
That's
that
very
the
key issues, sir. You understand
right.
that.
Yeah, thank you. The Tea Party has kind of made these the issues as has
no,
America.
I'm not Tea Party.
Okay, all right,
okay?
Thank you. But
I'm constitutional, okay?
Okay.
I'm not Tea Party. I got issues with the Tea Party, too. Do not get me wrong, but I got
okay.
real issues with the RNC because I've watched the issues that they're promoting.
Okay? Okay.
And I've heard yours. So I'm asking you why we would vote for expansion of Medicaid. I know a lot of people get in there, and all of a sudden the federal government's going to throw money at them, and they just think this is great, but they don't look at what takes place down the road.
Okay. Let me talk about Common Core first.
Okay.
That was your first question.
That is.
I see Common Core as a bottom standard, a base that schools can't fall below. Schools still have the flexibility to exceed it, and I think they need to, and I think good schools will exceed it. But the premise of Common Core with the Governors Association around the country is that if a child, a fourth grader, is moving from California to Massachusetts or Texas to Michigan, that a fourth grader is a fourth grader is a fourth grader, and you shouldn't have a different standard for depending on what state you come out of. So I like that premise that we have a bottom standard. We have you must not fall below. I also believe that schools will still have the flexibility to exceed it, and I think that is key, and that's why I was able to support it, is I don't want to take local control away from local school boards. I think they need to, based on a community, based on what the community needs are, they need to establish those standards above what the minimum is. Now, that's my view on that. The Medicaid expansion was probably the hardest vote I took in 5.5 years that I've been there so far. It was difficult. It was also the best of what we had in front of us, because to not do it, to not have that control over it through the Healthy Michigan Plan, which is our version of the Medicaid expansion, would have forced Obamacare into the federal exchange and just no control for Michigan. We believe it is a more effective, more cost-effective way where Michigan is controlling the dollars and we're putting standards onto people that enroll in the program that they have to participate. There's co-pays involved. There's health standards, there's lifestyle standards that we hope to get them to be obligated to, and none of that existed with the federal Obamacare. So this thing is in such flux, and we've seen that the Supreme Court has had a couple of rulings this week, so we don't know if it's going to work or not. Nobody around this country knows if it's going to work, and that doesn't mean that I'm supporting Obamacare. But what we had in front of us was a choice of complete federal takeover or allowing Michigan money back into the state and allowing us to control some of this. I believe we made the right decision based on what we had in front of us.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Duke. I disagree with what you said, Joe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. We don't have a call at the moment, Joe. You want to get into something else?
Well, Gary just asked that I touch on the corrections issues.
Yes.
I'd love to talk for the next 10 minutes about a Council of State Governments report that is going. We hired this group to come in. It's a national think tank organization out of Austin, Texas, that come in and look at our corrections sentencing and give us some recommendations on how we can refine and fine-tune what we're doing. They're going around the state holding a series of public hearings, primarily talking to judges and prosecutors. Most of the changes that they're recommending have to do with parole and probation issues. I'm excited about some of these things, and I'm hoping that in my last few months that we can see some changes happen for the better, have more certainty on sentencing, less ambiguity as to when somebody will come out, and I think we got some good things going on. I'm very excited about the changes that have happened from the conservative side, Republicans and conservatives all over the country talking about corrections issues and really a better way to do things. We incarcerate more people in this country than any country in the world, and that includes Russia, per capita more than Cuba, and it's really sad. We have to figure out a better way to change people's behavior without just throwing them in prison, because it's tremendously expensive, and it ruins not just that person's life after a crime, it ruins generations. A child growing up in a household where they have one parent in prison has a 7 times greater chance of going to prison themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes generational, and it creates a poverty level that people can't get out of, and that's been my focus for the past few years, and I will continue to work on those issues.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Is this Joe Hobman?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Joe. Had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I keep on getting all this mail, and I don't know if you touched base on this yet. I'm calling in late from Americans for Prosperity, and they have your name on it. I was wondering if you could tell me what that's all about.
Well, Americans for Prosperity, I'm not their biggest fan. They are probably taking some shots at me, and that's okay. As I talked about earlier, they're a national organization run by the Koch brothers, couple of billionaires in the oil business that are trying to buy every election around Michigan. The same piece of mail that you see with one candidate's name on it and face on it, all they do is transpose a different name and face in another part of the state. They're trying to make challenges for the good Republican candidates to put their own people in. And this is, I don't support Americans for Prosperity. I think they're misguided. And frankly, the people that I've met in Lansing, very mean-spirited, very ugly personalities, and I can't support that kind of politics. And in a lot of cases, I can't support their views either. So I don't support them. I'm, as I said before, Daniela Garcia is my candidate. She's a logical, thoughtful person that will do an excellent job in Lansing if she's elected.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Good morning. I don't know if you know anything about this or not. I'm on the national do not call list, where you're not supposed to be getting calls from these salespeople. And I have two places that there's one of them that call about 3 times a week. I filled in about three of these forms. I sent in about three of these forms already. They ask all these questions. They ask what number they're calling from and stuff. But the place, these two places still keep calling. Is there somebody else I should contact?
You know, I have the same issue. I go home every day and I'll catch the same answering machine message on my phone. I've actually engaged these people that have called and said, hey, sure, I'll be put on hold. And I try to waste a little bit of their time, too. And
I've tried asking them what part. I know they don't understand, and then they hang up on me.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you engage them and they realize that you're not going to buy anything or use their service, they hang up on you.
But when this came out, the way they said it was they were supposed to get fined if they keep calling you, and I was just wondering why they don't get fined or whatever if they keep calling.
I would have to do some homework on it, but I'm as frustrated as you are.
I was just wondering who else you could ask about this.
I will. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Well, Juke, if I could go back
go
to
ahead.
Corrections just for a minute. Gary asked me to touch on the Aramark situation in our prisons. We did, at the beginning of the year, start a contract with a private vendor to provide food service in our prisons.
Right.
It's been a rocky start. It's a 3-year contract, and we're about 7 months into it, and we've had a number of issues, including food quality food quantity. And frankly, the our local people that have been hired by this company really are not behaving in all cases the way they should in our prisons. We've got pretty strict requirements on familiarization between prisoners and employees. And the governor said that he's going to come out at the end of the month and have a recommendation. I've talked to the Department of Corrections a number of times. Seems like weekly I talk to them about it and what the status is. And I've also talked to Aramark. And there's not a doubt in my mind that some of this is sensationalized by, you know, former employees or current employees within the department. But we know that corrections have to be made and we have to fix our problem. And I think I'm confident in the administration that they're taking care of it. And we're going to see a resolution to this.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah. Question for Joe. On
yes, sir.
Personal, what is it?
Personal property tax?
Yeah, yeah. I've heard two things about that. Someone told me that it's on for the life of the machine, like if the machine is 40 years old, they're still paying it.
Correct.
And someone else said after 7 years, it's done on a machine or a piece of property. So
well,
what is the correct thing? Is it 7 years or is it for life of the machine, 40, 50 years?
Current law is, I believe, it's the life of the equipment while it has value, or
okay.
While it's on premises, owned by the company, and has value, I believe you're taxed on it.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's part of the problem, is it's very expensive, it's very cumbersome to keep track of this inventory every year, and it creates a disincentive for people to go out and buy new, more expensive equipment because their tax is going to go up. There's certain equipment that you're going to pay sales tax on, and then you pay this property tax on year after year after year, and it's the wrong direction. We should be incentivizing people to improve their businesses, buy new equipment, build their assets so their business is healthier and they're more productive.
Does that property tax go down as a machine gets older than
yes
or?
It does do that. It devalues just based on its like your home. If your home goes up in value, you pay more. Well, if your equipment goes down in value, you pay less.
Okay, but there's no limit on the amount of years?
No, not that I'm aware of, unless it's a specific piece and it's exempted by a local or something like that. But under the state law, no, you pay for it forever.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As you are on the downhill grade on your term, you find work less, but
no, really. I frankly, with this deadline coming of a lame duck after the November election, I'm trying to ramp it up because there's always going to be things that I could have been there 25 years and there'd be things that I didn't get done that I wanted to,
okay.
But I'm pushing myself to get things done.
I have someone on the line.
Good.
Yes, you're on the line with Joe. Go ahead.
He mentioned the Koch brothers a couple times, and Koch brothers do good work too. They built a big wing on a children's hospital, and he's against things like Common Core, or he's for Common Core, and he expansion Medicaid. I'm wondering what he thinks of George Soros.
Well, I'm not
maybe,
a big...
Maybe he could be on George Soros' team.
Well,
because
you know what?
Because it sounds like Joe's a rhino.
Thank you very much.
Fine.
You know, I love this when
Republican in name only, Joe.
Yeah, I understand what it stands for, and this is the kind of attitude and kind of atmosphere that we've created.
If you disagree
with somebody, you call them a name, and you try and put a label on them. I've gone to Lansing and I've tried to work on both sides of the issue and both sides of the aisle, rather. And I think I've been very fair in what I've done. I still consider myself a conservative, but occasionally I'm going to have disagreements, especially with the far-right Tea Party kind of people who build this kind of hostility into politics. And especially here in West Michigan, I think we want people that are willing to listen to all sides of an issue, are willing to talk to people and be respectful, and that's the way I've tried to run my term in office for 6 years. And that's the way I believe Daniela will do it, with respect and with reason, and not labeling people and calling people names.
And it looks like we're about out of time for today, Joe. I thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Juke.
Talking to all the folks out there. I'll be back after news and weather, so stay tuned.
The true sound of summer is here.
And